This is a People First Radio podcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Inclusion BC has announced a plan for regional advocate positions across British Columbia to help families supporting children with special needs and adults with developmental disabilities. The plan follows recommendations from the British Columbia Coroner's Inquest into the tragic Prince Rupert murder-suicide of Angie and Robert Robinson. On April 2, 2014, Prince Rupert mother Angie Robinson, in the face of what Inclusion BC describes as, quote, a catastrophic failure of our government systems to meet her needs and those of her family, unquote, died by suicide and murdered her son Robert, who had autism. In response to the coroner's inquest into the murder-suicide of Angie and Robert Robinson, Inclusion BC is now asking the government of BC to partner together and build capacity to support families by establishing six regional community inclusion advocates. I spoke with Faith Bodner, Executive Director at Inclusion BC, about that proposal.
Tell us about the tragic Prince Rupert murder-suicide of Angie and Robert Robinson.
Well, on April 2nd of 2014, Angie Robinson killed her son and then committed suicide as a result of the cumulative effects of not having her family's needs met. And what we did in finding out about the murder-suicide was try to become involved in a way that could take a terrible tragedy like that and perhaps find some light at the end of the tunnel, not only for the experience of Angie and Robert and their family, but also for other families who struggle with trying to get their needs met, and particularly families who have children with developmental disabilities across BC.
Now, that case of Angie and Robert Robinson led to a series of recommendations that came from the BC coroner. Can you comment on those recommendations? I know that there's 24 of them, but maybe give us a sense of some of the main points.
Sure. Well, the coroner's inquest just happened at the end of September in Prince Rupert. Actually, I was called as a witness to the coroner's inquest. And it was to look at all of the factors and the government departments and the processes that Angie and her family were involved in order to identify what could have been done differently, what could have been done better, and how we need to move forward in making it so that that experience that they had isn't one that is experienced by others. So the recommendations speak about some of the challenges in Prince Rupert around transportation. They speak about the challenges in community and responding to the needs of people like Robert and his family in terms of their complex support needs around having disabilities, and in his case, autism. And they speak to how government departments need to work differently and better and more collaboratively when people are involved with them. So it's really quite far-reaching. And the recommendations in particular, we're concerned about all of them, but there's one that speaks specifically to the need for families to have access to advocacy and information. And Inclusion BC was named as one of the community organizations that could provide that for families. So we really wanted to seize the moment and say, we know that there's a lot of issues here, that there's a lot of work that'll be done within government, and we certainly want to be part of that as appropriate. And we'll want to monitor progress in those areas where government supports families who have kids with developmental disabilities. But we also want to say we have an important role to play here, and the coroner's inquest recognized that as a non-government agency that provides advocacy and information for families, that we felt it was important to make a proposal to government that would offer and invite them to partner with us in establishing advocacy capacity across the province for families. What's really key, and Inclusion BC has been around for 60 years in BC, is that families lead the change that's necessary, both in the community and with government. And when families are empowered and are supported, they have the capacity to make change and advocate for the interests of their son and daughter, but they also can do that for others. So we see our role as being really pivotal and unique within the array of things that families access.
Now, you're calling for six regional community inclusion advocates. How would that approach work?
we're in the proposal that we gave government, and it's just a high-level proposal at this point because we think that we want to get agreement in principle, and then we'll work out, you know, the details around what a partnership would look like. But Inclusion BC, we already have some staff, including myself, who do advocacy and amongst all the other things we do, but we know that we're only touching the tip of the iceberg. I didn't hear, and we didn't hear about Angie's concerns and her issues until after the terrible tragedy on April 2nd of 2014. So our worry, of course, is where there have got to be other people who are experiencing those things, and we want to make sure they have access to things and support in their own community. So those six advocates would be one we're proposing on the island, on Vancouver Island. There would be two in the north that reflects the fact that distances are farther in the north and that we want to be able to reach people closer to where they live. And the population is more dispersed there. So we said two in the north, one in the Okanagan, one in the interior, and one in the lower mainland. So we want to make sure that families have access, as I said earlier, to advocacy close to them, and that we can provide not only the individual advocacy for families, we can also connect with community and build capacity in community and identify capacity in the community to support families, and also work at a more regional and local level with offices of government. What happened with Angie and Robert is that government departments were not working well together with each other, although the same family was involved. Many government workers are overburdened, particularly in child welfare and in supports to children and youth with special needs. They have a high level of casework and a high volume of casework, and they often don't have the capacity to look outside of their system and see that there is, in fact, some capacity in community if there was just a little bit of support to build it. So we want to work, again, with individual families, with community organizations, and also within government to build welcoming communities wherever families are.
How do you anticipate that the government of British Columbia will respond to this proposal?
Their initial response has been a desire and a willingness to talk, and we'll start there. I would hope that the government would recognize the unique support that a nonprofit organization can provide that they can't. Families need to be able to go to places they trust and to talk to people they trust about issues that are very personal and important to them, and that's usually not a government office. Not because government offices aren't trustworthy, they are, but families need different things in different places, and they need to get information that is not connected with anything else other than their own best interests, so, and what they want for their sons and daughters. So we know that Inclusion BC can provide that for families. What we need is resources to do it more, and to do it in communities across the province.
What are the next steps for this particular project, Faith? What can we expect, let's say, in the next number of months?
Right now, there's a letter that's gone to the Minister of Social Development and Social Innovation and the Minister of Child and Family Development, asking for an immediate meeting with them, with the ministers, to talk about next steps. I would hope that we would see in the next few months the establishment and hiring of the community inclusion advocates under the umbrella of Inclusion BC, so we'd be responsible for these positions. And I hope that our government understands the importance of this, and so that we don't have a repeat of something like what happened with Angie and Robert, and that we also don't stand by and see families struggle and go into crisis when they don't need to. So we think that this is an important piece of how families need to be and want to be supported, and I'm hoping that our government welcomes that opportunity to partner with us.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just, I'd like to reinforce the importance that Inclusion BC places on supporting families in their own communities and providing advocacy for families in their own communities. We know that communities are all unique and distinct, that they have challenges that are unique to those communities, but they also have tremendous opportunities to include people with developmental disabilities and their families, and we want to make sure that we do that in a supportive and meaningful way that respects where communities and families are at.
Faith Bodner, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
You're most welcome.
Faith Bodner is Executive Director at Inclusion BC. You can find Faith on Twitter at Faith Bodner, B-O-D-N-A-R. You can find out more about the proposed Regional Community Inclusion Advocates online at inclusionbc.org.
People First Radio is an initiative of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and broadcast on CHLY 101.7, radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the partnering organizations. Listen to People First Radio on demand. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.